like this. I know. I do have a cold. I'm really, really sorry. Parts Vayeshev. We're going to start off with a classic, classic Rav Wolfson. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Meguri Aviv Be'eretz Kanan. Yaakov lived in the land of the Meguri Aviv, the sojournings, the travelings of his father in the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan. Now, we spoke out last week that Avram and Yitzchak were very into Gerim. And we said that was the shot behind the wells. Yaakov was never into Gerim. That he was into separating himself from everybody else. You guys remember that? There's a difference. That Avram was into Eruvei Tavshilin and making food for everyone. Yaakov was into Eruvei Tichumin and separating everybody from his Shvatim because he wanted to keep everybody separate. There is a Medrash that says very, very similar but the exact opposite. It says by Avram and Yitzchak, and Avram and Yaakov, that Avram we know is into Kirv. It says it's a Nefesh Shrasu B'Haran, the souls that they made in Haran. That's by Avram Avinu. By Yaakov, he was also into Kirv. It says he has B'nai Beso and Achiv and stuff like that. There were people that he had that were big Gerim. So Avram and Yaakov were into making Gerim. Those guys were into Gerim. I'm sorry? Exactly. Because he was into making Gerim. He was into all that. What's going on, guys? But Yitzchak, however, was not. There is nowhere throughout the Torah where it mentions that Yitzchak made Gerim. So the Medrash says, straight out, there is a place where it says it. Migure Aviv, in this week's Parsha, in the land of Migure Aviv, the Medrash says it's Migiure Aviv, from the Giurim of his father. Meaning Yitzchak had a bunch of Gerim, and in that land, that's where Yaakov lived. Yaakov lived in the place where his father had. Now the question is obvious. Rav Wolfson asks this, and really, again, the Meshech Chochma and Rabbi Brazil, Rav Shmuel Brazil, from what's it called, Parsha Yashim, they both argue on this point. They say that it was exactly that Avram and Yitzchak made Gerim and Yaakov didn't, but according to at least this Rav Wolfson, he asks, I don't understand. Why not say it directly? Why not say it directly, say it outright, like it does by the other two, that Yitzchak made Gerim? Why does it have to say it as a remez in the Parsha of Yaakov that is Migure Aviv, the word Giure Aviv? That's number one. Number two, how do you know Migure Aviv means the word Giurim, as in Gerim? Maybe it means the word Magur, by Yagur Moav. Moav is very afraid. Maybe it means the word fear. And that makes a lot of sense, because Yitzchak, we know, is all about Pachad Yitzchak. He was all about Din, which was fear. Yiras Shemayim and Yiras Hashem. That's what Yitzchak was all about. So maybe that's what it means, in the land full of fear from Yitzchak, that Yitzchak gave a certain amount of koach into that land. Why not say it like that? That's that. So how do we know all this? So the answer is like this. We went through this before. Remember we said that Avram and Yitzchak were really Hillel and Shammai. That Avram was Hillel and Yitzchak was Shammai. Now we know from the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph from an Aleph that Hillel and Shammai had a bunch of people that came up to them that wanted to become Gerim. Shammai kept taking them and kicking them out, throwing them out and saying, you guys are garbage. I don't want to have you guys. I don't want to make Gerim. That was what Shammai did. Hillel took them in and showed them what to do and everything. And we always look at that Gemara and we say, gosh, what's up with Shammai? Did Shammai just hate everyone? No. Shammai was into Midas Adin. He didn't want these people around because he felt they would be bad influences, and bad influences are not good for Klal Yisrael. So he said, I don't want you guys to be around because you guys are not going to help us in what we're going to do in our tachlis and what we're going to do in our life. So he kept throwing them away. That what? Kasha Gerim Kesapachas. He's the one that holds that Kasha Gerim Kesapachas. That Gerim are terrible to Yisrael like Kesapachas. That was Shammai's and Yitzchak's way. That was exactly what they were about. So therefore, they weren't into Kiruv work. They weren't into Kiruv work. However, there are other ways of making Gerim without doing outright Kiruv. Another way of making Gerim, there are two ways actually, says Rav Wolfson. The two ways are, number one, is by raising the Kedusha Samakom. By improving the Kedusha of the place around you, automatically the people in your town will find God. Because by raising the Kedusha, by sitting in a place and making it such a Kadosh, holy place, the people feel that the land is holier, they feel more of a connection to God, and they feel like they have to find God. They feel like there's a reason to go everywhere. Not just from the fact that you're there, but rather from the Kedusha of the Makom itself. They feel like they should become better. Number two, another way, is that if you see a person who serves God with so much Mesiris Nefesh, truly giving himself straight to God, willing to give up everything he has for God, he's willing to be Moser Nefesh, and he looks like a Malach. It's impossible to not have a Emunah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu with that. You see a guy like that, if you honestly, when I saw Rav Shur the other night, Rav Shur from New York, I couldn't help but say, you know what I want to do? I want to learn all day long. I want to be exactly like like that guy. There are certain people that you look at and you just see the face and you're like, wow, that guy is an unbelievable gadol. I want to become a better person because of him. That's another way of making gerim without going outright and converting people. You're not going outright and saying anything to other people. You're not converting anybody. You're not going out and saying like, hey, come with me for Shabbat. We'll go celebrate Shabbat together and we'll do this and we'll sing a little bit and we'll have this. And you're not making gerim like that. What you're doing is by raising the kiddusha of the makom itself, or not only by raising the kiddusha, by walking around and people seeing how holy you are. Now, obviously, this only applies by certain people. You automatically make gerim. But you don't want the gerim. When they come up to you and they say, hey, we love you, we want to become gerim, you say to them, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you guys. But they automatically find God, even despite you. Even though Shammai yelled at those guys and said, guys, get out of here, we don't want gerim like you, they still wanted to become Jewish. They still went to Hillel. They didn't just give up and say, okay, forget it, Shammai doesn't want us, we're out. They went straight to Hillel. They said to Hillel, hey, so we want to become Jewish now, what should we do? They were still willing to do that. Shammai didn't turn them off. He just said, I'm not willing to take you. There are certain people like that. That's what Yitzchak was all about. Yitzchak did have gerim. There was migure aviv, migiure aviv. There were people that were his own gerim, but they were not from his outright, from what he did. It wasn't from things that he went out and did for other people. It was from what he automatically did. In other words, what he showed other people with his life. People looked at him and said, how could I not love God? How could I not become close to God? But you can now understand, Rav Chanoch Hanachmi Alexander, what happened to the nefesh asher asu b'charon, those nefashos that Avram made that were gerim, they were so used to having a guy that was helping them out and saying, you guys are Jewish, that's great, I'm so happy for you, come, let us eat a Shabbat meal. And getting them all together and gathering them together and having, that was a joke, guys, way to like laugh. But either way, like getting them all together, like, there you go. By the way, by going ahead and doing that, that was what Avram was used to, but they weren't used to that when Yitzchak came along and they sat there and they were like, what in the world is this guy doing? He's yelling at us. I'm not here to get yelled at. I'm here to be praised for believing in God. They couldn't take it. So says Rav Chanoch Hanachmi Alexander, they slowly but surely went off. And they started following their own little path. And they became their own little people on the side. Because Yitzchak wasn't into making gerim on the outside. There were two different ways. There's Avram's way and Yitzchak's way. The purest way is Yaakov, a combination of the two. But now you understand, migiuri aviv is also a lashon of magur, which is fear. It is fear. By using his fear, he was able to make some people into gerim automatically. That's the idea behind it. Okay. We know that there was a machlokas between the Shvatim. There is svarim written on these machlokas between the Shvatim. Last year I spoke out the Shlo HaKadosh, which went into the whole golem issue, that they were creating things through Sefer Yetzirah, and they were saying things that they shouldn't have been doing, and that Yosef was invited but the other people weren't, and everything like that. That's what we went into last year. This year I think we should go into the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh. Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh says that Yosef was a shtickle Haredi. And I don't mean Haredi as in Haredi that he wore a black hat. I mean, he was into going up to other people and telling them that they're dead wrong when what they're doing is technically okay. What he did was the following. We know there were three things they did. Number one, they were getting together with the woman. Getting together with the woman, which we're calling Znus. He called it Znus. Number two, they made fun of the sons of the Shvachos. They made fun of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. That's number two. And number three is that they ate Aver Min HaChai. They ate certain things that were Aver Min HaChai, limbs from live animals. That's what Yosef said that the Shvatim did. They all say, it comes out from this passage, there's a Chassam Sofer that says it straight out. The Chassam Sofer says, where is it? It says, Vu Nar. It says, Hayaroes Achav Batzon. He shepherded his brothers with the sheep, so he saw them eat Aver Min HaChai. Vu Nar. And he was a little kid, which means that he was, what's it called? That he, which one was that? Now that I think about it, I'm not so sure which one it was. I don't remember what that was. Unar, he was the one that was beautiful, so it was Gilei Arias. I don't remember that one exactly. But it says, it's B'nai Bilhah, it's B'nai Zilpah, and Sheaviv. He stayed together with B'nai Bilhah and B'nai Zilpah. That he saw what was going on with the sons of the Shvachos. What were his real problems? The pshat was, is that Yosef held doing business with women was usher. You're not allowed to look at a woman. You're not allowed to put your hand at the supermarket when the woman is giving the change. If you feel that hand into your hand, Usser Gummer. Not only Usser Gummer, the guy's mamish over on Gili Arias. Mamish over on Gili Arias from the Torah. Now, they say, by the way, they've done studies on this. I read a study on this once, that if a woman puts the coins directly into the hands of the person in line, the next time they come to the supermarket, they'll find that woman and they'll stand in that line. They did studies on it. I read a whole thing on it. I don't know if these studies were true or what they used to be able to do it, whatever it is, but the lines that they'd go into was in the lines of the people that put it directly into their hands. It's optional. It's just, it's one of those things. Yeah, self-checkout is a little bit worse. That just means you're antisocial. But either way, regardless, yeah, I don't know what the study went through. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I just thought.
It sounds reasonable.
But regardless, it sounds reasonable. So doing business with women, Yosef held, was Mamish Gili Arias. But everybody else held, so okay. Everybody else held, this is perfectly fine. That's number one. That's what Yosef said himself. Now, number two, he saw them acting slightly superior to the B'nai Shvachos. Not that they would go out to B'nai Bill and B'nai Zilpah and say, hey, losers, what's going on, B'nai Shvachos? Chas v'shalom that the Shvatim would do that. But they saw them acting just a little bit more superior. Like, we know that we have Leah. Like, a little bit of sort of like a snobbish, sort of like something that we probably wouldn't have noticed, but Yosef, with his deft eye, was able to see there's something a little bit different that they're acting toward themselves rather than, you know, more than by everybody else. He saw that and he said, you guys are acting terrible to the B'nai Shvachos. That was number two. And number three, with Avraham Ben Achai, he saw there were mekel, certain kashrus issues. There were certain issues of Basar Becholov or Batul B'Shishim or things like that. Like, he asked about a certain pot and Ruvay matered it. He said there's a shach. He said there's a shach over there that matters such a thing. Yosef's like, no! Come on, the ties. Come on, there's a ties. Well, how can you matter it like the shach? He saw things like that. He saw kulas that the Shvatim were using, kulas. And Yosef said, no, you don't use those kulas. We got to go with the chumras. Now, he wasn't wrong, but he was wrong on trying to force it on the Shvatim. That was the problem, that he was trying to force it onto the Shvatim itself. But Yaakov loved Yosef for his ideas, for the chumras that he could have done, for the chumras that he wanted to give over. But there were still problems with what Yosef did. Yosef was still considered a Baal Lashon Hara for what he did. Rabbi Chanan says, Maisa Avos Simen Laban. Most unbelievable thing. Maisa Avos Simen Laban. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said, this whole thing, the whole Shvatim versus Yosef, is exactly what happens during the times when Mashiach is about to come. Yosef are the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation. The Shvatim are the Ami Aratzim of the generation. Call that the people who now are not from, who 100 years ago were from, but felt that the Talmidei Chachamim cannot tell me what to do. The people who, they thought that they were the number one people. Talmidei Chachamim, a rabbi in the town? Who's this rabbi? I'm the guy who should be in charge. I'm the guy who should do everything by myself. Why, how can a rabbi tell me what to do when it comes to these things? He says, the Ami Aratzim hate the Talmidei Chachamim. But the Talmid Chacham does not reciprocate that hate to those Ami Aratzim. That's what it was. Yosef did not hate the Shvatim, but the Shvatim hated Yosef. Yosef went around and gave them Musar. Maybe in a little bit of a harsh way. Not everybody does Musar in the right way. But because of that, the Shvatim hated him. The Ami Aratzim hate the rabbi. But the rabbi was still trying to teach them to go on the right path, to try to get them in the right path, maybe in different ways. Maybe Yosef was a little too harsh, a little too extreme, but trying to lead them in the right way, and that turned them off just a tiny little bit. He says, in Golos, that's number one. And number two, Yosef was sold over to many different people. We know he was sold over to the Midyanim, then the Midanim, and then the Yishma'elim, and then over to Mitzrayim. So to the Torah was Gola to all the different places. We know the Torah was all over the place during our Golos. It went to Spain, it went to France, it was in Russia for a little bit, it was in Lithuania, it went to Poland for a little bit, it went back to Eretz Yisrael, it's in America, it's all over the place. Egypt even, by the Rambam, the Torah went all over the place. Bavel, obviously Bavel. The Torah went into Golos all over the place. That's the idea of Yosef being sold over. Yosef, the Talmidei Chachamim, being sold from one place to the other place, to the other place, to the other place. It's Maisa Avos Simen Labanim. And who sold them out? The Ami Aratzim. Do their sins cause the gullus of the Torah, for the Torah to be thrown over from one place to the other? That's what Rabbi Chanan says. Now, that's the difference.
How long is the list of places he was sold to, or is there one?
And the only list that we have is Midanim, Midyanim, Yishma'elim, Mitzriim. We have those four. That's supposed to be the Pasim, the Ksonis Pasim is supposed to be those four that are mentioned over there. Regardless, yeah, it's supposed to be those things over there. But regardless, those are the things over there. there. Now, why wasn't it Lashon Hara? How could Yosef have said such things? How can you not consider that to be Lashon Hara? I mean, you go up to your father and you said, my brothers are doing something bad. Since when is that mutter? Where do Yosef, the big machmir, he's this big machmir, how in the world could he find such a heter for Lashon Hara? The answer is, it was not a heter. It was mamish mutter. Because we said, Yosef's trying to muster them out. He felt they were doing something wrong. There is a halacha regarding Lashon Hara of Neman Olav Kibay Trey. If the guy believes you as if you're two Adim, meaning you have the status of two Adim to him, you're allowed to speak that Lashon Hara if that person can have an effect on that person that you're talking about. However, that only applies between a Rebbe and a Talmud Mufak. A Rebbe and a Talmud Mufak are the only people that have that Neman Olav Kibay Trey. That a Rebbe can trust his Talmud Mufak to be Neman Olav Kibay Trey. If my Talmud tells me that my Talmud Mufak tells me something, I can believe him as if he's two Adim, and I fully believe him. Everything he says is 100% true. Then I know that it's true, and I can use it to go help out another guy. So if one guy would come up to me and say, this guy is doing something wrong, and it's somebody that I can affect, I'm allowed to believe that guy if he's my Talmud Mufak. Only if he's not just a Talmud Mufak, an absolute Talmud. I'm allowed to believe it, and I'm allowed to do whatever I can to go help out the person that was being talked about. Yaakov was the Rebbe Mufak of Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik was thus Neman Olav Kibay Trey to Yaakov Avinu. He was fully believed by Yaakov. So when he told it over to Yaakov, thinking that Yaakov would be able to affect the Shvatim and tell the Shvatim that what they're doing is wrong, he was Neman Olav Kibay Trey. He was believed as if he was two Adim, and therefore it wasn't Lashon Hara. Fakert, it was Musar. It was regular Musar. It was giving Musar over to the people that they needed to hear. You look quizzical. Quizzical. What's the question?
Why do you have to say it's Neman Olav Kibay Trey to get it out of the Lashon Hara context?
Not to get it out. Say that it's not Lashon Hara in the first place. It wasn't even a heter for Lashon Hara.
But why do you have to go to that step of saying it's Neman Olav Kibay Trey?
As opposed to
just me telling you something.
Can a person tell over something to somebody thinking that I can give Musar over to somebody else?
Hold on.
Meaning?
He's telling Yaakov.
We know about
Yaakov that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah. That's normally not mutter. Even if Yaakov might have an effect, if Yaakov has a suffix whether or not he actually did that.
If people came and told somebody else that they were doing something wrong, then that would be okay?
If there's edus, yes. For example, I'll give you a regular case. A guy who goes to court. Yeah, of course you can. It's like going to Beis Din. In other words, two people are believed to go to Beis Din and say, this guy, Jack over here, went and did this thing wrong. And they're believed, 100% believed. And Beis Din is allowed to, punish the guy for what he did. But one guy that goes to Beis Din, the one guy that went to Beis Din, he gets Malkus. That guy gets Malkus. Because he's Choshed Bechsherim, or he's Motzi Shemra. He said something wrong about that other guy. He's not allowed to do that. That's 100% usher. That's what we're saying over here. Yosef on his own was not allowed to go to David HaMelech. You're not allowed to just go up to another guy and tell him something, because maybe he won't believe you, and that's going to be considered Motzi Shemra or Lashon Hara or something like that. You're not allowed to do that. What we're doing instead is having a Neman Olav Kibay Trey. Neman Olav Kibay Trey is as if he's going to Beis Din, and he's posking in front of Beis Din, listen, I am two Adim, and that's what you're allowed to do with a Rebbe Mufak, and now you got to take do what you need to do to these Shvatim. Do what these Shvatim need. That's what Yosef held. However, the Shvatim held on. The Shvatim held, no, that's not true. They held that they were all Talmidei Mufakim of Yaakov Avinu, not just Yosef HaTzadik. And therefore, and what that really means is that they were all Talmidim, equal Talmidim. You can't say one was greater than the other. And because of that, Neman Olav Kibay Trey didn't apply by any of them. None of them had this idea of Neman Olav Kibay Trey. So if you want to testify in us, go bring another brother. Go bring somebody else to help us testify. But you can't just go ahead and do that. I know there's Krovim problems anyway. There's relative problems anyway. But regardless, you can't testify in us like that. You can't just do that. They felt that he wasn't a Talmud Mufak, which led to the problem of the dreams. Yosef went and told the brothers the dream. Now, don't do this. You got brothers who hate you, despise you. You had a dream that all your brothers bowed down to you. All your brothers gave you $1 million. So you wake up in the morning and like, hey brother, you know what you did last night? You gave me $1 million. God loves me. He doesn't love you. Can you imagine doing that to your brothers? What kind of an idiot is Yosef? You're going to tell it over to them? And then even more so when he gets to his father and he's like, hey, even you bow down to me. That's right. I'm the man. You're not. Like, can you imagine that? Can you imagine? And what's he doing? What kind of, how could he possibly have said such a thing? The Rosh says the most unbelievable thing. It was nevuah. He had a chiyuv to tell it over in the morning. It was mamash nevuah. Wasn't just a dream. It wasn't stam a dream like the Sarah Ofim and the Sarah and Sarah Mashkin later on in the parsha. It was nevuah. We know there's halacha kodesh nevuah. So you withhold your nevuah, chayiv misa. You're not allowed to just withhold your nevuah and just hold it back. If you got a prophecy, you got to say it out. Yosef didn't have a choice. See, he went to the Shvatim and he said it to them, not as like, hey guys, I have a story for you. He went ahead and he said to them, guys, I had a dream last night. This is what happened in my dream. What do you think it means? And if it means what you think it means, translate it differently. Because if you translate it differently, maybe it'll be a different way. Maybe it'll go a different way. Dreams go after what the mouth says. So translate it differently. Maybe that'll be good. That's what he told them. But he had no choice to not say it. But the Shvatim, they said to themselves, wait a second. There's a Yerushalmi and Trumas. Parakas Mishnehe. Yerushalmi and Trumas says the following. Eliyahu Anavi went up to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and said, I don't appear to people that speak Lashon Hara. I will never appear to people that speak Lashon Hara. And the Shvatim said, let's make a Kal V'chomer. If Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't appear to people who speak Lashon Hara, Kol Shekein, Nevuah will not go to somebody who speaks Lashon Hara. And they held that Yosef spoke Lashon Hara. So therefore, he's claiming that he got a Nevuah? It's impossible. He's a Navi Sheker. What's the halacha by a Navi Sheker? You kill him. He was Chayav Misa. So it's not just Stam that they saw that Yosef was going up against them, so they wanted to kill Yosef. Not just Stam that they said, oh, we hate Yosef, we want to go ahead and kill Yosef. They held he was mamish chayiv misa because he's a baal lashon hara and he just spoke out. Just baal lashon hara we can deal with. When he spoke out his nevuah, he claimed it was nevuah. He said now he's sheker. Now he's chayiv to die. Now we gotta kill him. Now he's chayiv misa. I'm sorry. Who says they didn't? Same question I had 2 years ago when I said over this board. Who says they didn't? Who says they didn't go up to Yaakov? But Yaakov Avinu said avi shamaris adavar. He yelled at Yosef. He said, "What's wrong with you, Yosef? Why would you say such a thing?" Knowing that it's very possible it's Nevuah. Very possible it's Nevuah. Avi Shamar is a Devar. He didn't know what to do. Yaakov was Mesupik. But everybody else, Paskin, he was Chayiv. And in fact, that Psak of Mesupik could have led everybody else to be able to kill him. Because we know you're not allowed to kill somebody unless Beis Din has one person that finds the innocence behind a person. If every person in